KCPW in Salt Lake City, I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, and this is Downtown SLC, a program that explores the people, places, and events that are shaping Utah's urban center. It's going to be a very busy weekend downtown. Comic-Con is expected to draw 45,000 people at the Salt Palace. The last Twilight concert is happening tonight with MGMT. James Taylor is performing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir tomorrow and Saturday, drawing tens of thousands of people. It's also the weekend of the annual Greek Festival, downtown's oldest and largest ethnic festival. Joining me today are two representatives from the Greek Festival, Jeff Chipian and Alexis Coplin. We'll be talking about the festival and also about the history of the Greek community in Utah.
A lot of people don't know the Greek community personally, and when you come into that festival, it hits you personally.
All that after the news. This is Jason Mathis with Downtown SLC, a radio program that talks about the people, places, and events that are shaping Utah's urban center. Joining me today are two new friends from the Greek Festival, Alexis Coplin and Jeff Chipian. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We're excited about this. Starting today, actually, the Greek Festival kicks off, and it's been going on for really quite a long time in our community. Can you, Jeff, maybe talk a little bit about the history of the Greek Festival and how it got started and what's going on?
So this is the 38th year of the Greek Festival. It goes on every single weekend, the weekend after Labor Day. And it just keeps growing and growing each year. And we get more and more excited every year. And this year is going to be a big one.
Yeah. What are some of the things that are different this year that people may be able to see that they haven't seen in the past?
Just more variety, more food, different types of layouts, and all the Greek dances that we have throughout the whole weekend, and entertainment that they can come and see.
Okay. So if someone hasn't gone to the festival before, Alexis, mm-hmm. maybe they've heard about it, or they've seen the banners up, or they know something about it. What could they expect, and why should they go to the Greek Festival that starts today?
Well, I think they should go for many reasons. First of all, when you first go in there, most people don't realize how big our festival is or how many people it actually draws in. And they should expect to see lots of exciting Greek people dancing. They get to the music, it draws you in, the food, the smells, the people, the Greek culture, everything that's there to offer to them, it draws you in, and you are going to be welcomed with that Greek hospitality that we are so good with.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just,
you kind of become Greek, right?
We bring you in and we welcome you in so that you feel right at home and right part of the family. So
very cool,
for sure.
Very cool. So lots of different dancing going on. That's one of the big cultural elements to the Greek Festival that people can expect every year. How many different dance troupes are there? How many different dancers will be performing?
So we actually have four different dance groups. Actually make that five, because we have the young kids group that starts at the age of 14, mm-hmm. and then it goes all the way up to the college age years. And we have each dance group, and they have performed different dances of different regions of Greece. So you have mainland of Greece, and then even in the island of Crete.
Cool. I was looking over the schedule, and I like the names of them. There's the Parthenon dancers, and the Athenian dancers, and the Olympian dancers, and the Dionysus dancers. So it's very cool that there's so many different, distinct groups, and they perform every single day. So if you don't go on one day, you can still see them, because they'll be doing the same groups will be performing every day. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Every group performs every day, and you can download a schedule on SaltLakeGreekFestival.com if you want, and you can see when the dance times are, so you won't miss it. And all of them they've been practicing since probably January,
right.
All the dance groups, and so the kids have a passion that they want to instill in this festival from their parents and everyone involved.
Talk a little bit about the food. I think that's one thing that people really look forward to. What kinds of foods are available, and how is this different than just maybe going to a restaurant and having food, a Greek restaurant?
I think it's because we do try to provide as much variety of the Greek foods that we have there. The atmosphere adds to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have dancers in the background, you have the music going on, and then we have all the types of food that I absolutely love. You can go from the Euro booth, you can get loukoumades, which is a wonderful dessert, and I don't know, what's your favorite foods? I love the domadas, the pilafi, everything. Like, there's just variety, so.
So maybe describe those for people, because I think people may not be as familiar with, with every, you know, what are three or four different, I mean, most people probably have had a gyro before.
Yes.
But what are some of the other things that maybe are a little bit more unique that you wouldn't normally find in Salt Lake City?
Probably the domadas. I think a lot of people, those are their first questions. What is that that I'm looking at? It's a grape leaf, and it's got meat and rice and seasoning it, and it's cooked in a lemon juice, and it is my favorite.
It's delicious. Yeah, I've had those before. I didn't know what they were called, but I've had those before. Yeah.
And then there's like spanakopita, which is like a spinach and cheese all mixed in, and it's covered in the phyllo. It's like almost like a pie.
It's hard to go wrong with cheese and phyllo dough. That's a good combination.
Yes, I think so. What's your favorite, Jeff?
Yeah, those are easy ones. And also the lucumadas, you'll start to see those throughout the state of Utah, but those are little tiny Greek scones.
Okay.
They're like, they're dough balls, we call them. And they're covered in honey and cinnamon, and it's basically, if you want one box, you better walk outside of the festival, because you'll come back and get two more boxes.
That's awesome.
I just recommend buying two boxes.
Just up front.
Yeah, because I can finish off one by myself. So if people come and grab, you need the extra for the others.
Be hospitable. To have some true Greek hospitality.
That is part of the Greek culture. Right. So you'd want to do that anyways.
That's right. What is there for kids to do? Because this really is a family festival. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to introduce children to a cultural element of our community. Are there things for kids to do?
Absolutely. We actually have a children's midway, and in the back there will be bounce houses. There'll be games. There's a face painter coming this year. We have treats, you know, the regular fair cotton candy, things like that. I mean, you do see in our back.
It is
a festival. I actually like it to take my kids. They go through the church. They go through the museum. So they're seeing a few of the more Greek cultural stuff as well. And then my kids love the food, the lucumadas.
Yeah.
We go there often during the day. So, I think there's plenty to offer for the children.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's talk about what will people see when they go inside the church? What is the church? A lot of people may have driven by, may have seen it. It's definitely distinctive architecture for downtown. It's a Byzantine style, and there's not a lot of other buildings like that. What will people see when they go in the church, and what do you guys have there that might be interesting for folks?
So we have church tours throughout the day and of every day of the festival, and also some choir performances. So while you're walking in, you can actually listen to the choir and throughout the church. And during these tours, you actually have like a little tour guide will actually describe to you the architecture and how it was built. And then once you go inside, it'll tell you the icons and then why we have stained glass windows, why we have this sort of dome. Just to give you reasoning of why each piece is intricate in the actual church. And it's such an amazing thing to actually go through it and just learn about it. Mm-hmm. Even if you go to the church every single day and you don't even go to that through the tour, once you go through it, you're like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That's one thing. I think that really helps people appreciate things more and have more enjoyment, whether it's about food or wine or architecture. Understanding sort of the elements of it increases the enjoyment that you get out of it, just because you know more about it and you appreciate it a little bit more. So that's definitely a cool aspect. And then the church is actually home to it's a very unusual museum in the basement, right? I think it's the only Greek museum in the United States. So maybe talk a little bit about what's in the museum.
It's not the only one. It was the first one.
First one, okay.
We beat out Chicago barely by like a week.
Good.
Because we knew we knew they were going to build one, so we kind of built one right before.
Awesome.
Just by throwing some stuff in there. But it's just underneath the church. It's all remodeled for the past few years, but it has pictures of family members who came over from Greece, them working in the mines, them working in the railroads and things like that. And then you have pictures of their weddings, their baptisms, and then you also have some artifacts like some of the posters or some of the flags they had, and then even some old desks, just to give you a feel of what they actually used and how long we've actually been around. And so it's a really interesting sort of museum that we have down there.
That's great. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the Greek community in Utah and the building of the church and what is happening today in the community. So Again, Jason Mathis, this is Downtown SLC on KCPW, and we will be back after this break. Welcome back. This is Downtown SLC, a radio show that talks about the people, places, and events that are helping to shape Utah's urban center. I'm Jason Mathis with the Downtown Alliance, joined by Alexis Coplin and Jeff Chipian from the Greek community. We're talking about the Greek festival that starts today, one of many activities going on in downtown Salt Lake City today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the Greek community in Utah. So the Greeks actually have a pretty interesting history in downtown and in Utah and in Salt Lake City. Maybe you can talk a little bit about sort of what brought people here to Utah from Greece.
So it all started with some of the Greek families starting to immigrate over for bit jobs in the mining industry, mm-hmm. and also the railroads. Bingham Copper Mine was a huge sort of jump start to the Greek community. Family after family would come over and over to work in the mines, and then they'd all be in Bingham and slowly start spreading out throughout the valley of Salt Lake.
Yeah, so I was looking at some history that I found at the Holy Trinity Church's website, and so in 1900 there were only 3 Greek people listed on the census, but by 1915 that had skyrocketed to 20,000 people, which is I think even bigger than the number of the Greek community today. So it was really an important part of the development of our city and our downtown. I also noticed on tracks there's a Greek town stop, and can you talk a little bit about what happened in that community in that little neighborhood?
So the Greek town's on 4th South and 4th West.
Correct.
And because that's where it basically originated from. That was with old Greek town. All the families would just be in one little spot right there. And people can drive by and they'll see Greek restaurants and all that family and industry right there. And then they started to go farther and farther away. Right now it's just a Greek town track stop. There's nothing else there anymore, but just a few streets down, blocks down, is the actual church and
right.
where everything is built now.
And that was the site of the original Greek Orthodox Church, where the Greek town stop is now. But in the 1920s, the community had grown enough that they really needed to expand, and so that's when you built the current church, the Holy Trinity Church there. And then in the 50s, there was another big expansion, and people, Greek families, wanted to expand again. And so then there was another church built, right?
Yep. It's down in Holiday. It's on about 50th South and Highland Drive. It's called Prophet Elias Church. It's just another church part of our community. We're a very strong community, and we just kept growing and growing. And so once you expand farther out, you need to make sure you keep everyone together, so we have these two big churches in our one community.
Well, and the Greek Orthodox parish here is one of the oldest in the United States. I think a lot of people would not know that, but it was one of the oldest ones and largest ones between St. Louis and San Francisco, and really played an important role in downtown and in the development of our city. What are the reasons you think that the Greek community wanted to start the Greek festival? I mean, is it financial? Is it let people know more about the history and the culture? What's sort of the background behind the festival?
Well, here if I go. The Greek festival started as a bake sale. Like literally
really?
In their little gym that they had back then, which is like the basement of the church, they did a little bake sale, neighborhood bake sale. It was a fundraising thing, and they did it for that and to share their pastries. I mean, it really came down to just a few pastries. And that's what they started with. And then each year it just grew and grew until it has grown into now where we get 40,000 to 50,000 people over the 4 days.
That's
and
huge.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean, we are cooking starting in May all the way until festival weekend
wow.
to prepare for this. So it's gotten huge. Definitely has grown since our little bake sale in the 30s.
And is it just some of the church members? I mean, how does this all work? This must be a big event to pull together every year.
It is a huge event. It's not just the church members. You have people from all over in Salt Lake community actually even coming during the prep time and
yeah.
working. The Greek community is pretty big. It's everybody. I mean, I've been down there all the prep week this week. We have everybody there. We have churchgoers. We have our Greek community. We have Salt Lake community here. It's a huge community event that it takes all of us to get it together, too.
And what do you do with the funds? Because this is a fundraiser, and, mm-hmm. and there's a cost to go. So maybe talk a little bit about that. But then also, you know, how do you use those proceeds? What does it go towards?
There's several charities that we give out through the year. We use a lot of the proceeds. There's a whole list of them that we give out throughout the year. The first one that Salt Lake probably knows the best is we do the big Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. That's one place that the proceeds do go to first.
And a Thanksgiving dinner for?
It's the Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless.
Yeah.
And it's a huge event. It's actually one of the bigger ones in Salt Lake that day on Thanksgiving. And we cook all day long and feed the community. That's one of the bigger ones. I wish I had my list with me because it's huge. But we give to all sorts of charities. I know Ronald McDonald's is on our list. Different colleges are on our list. Different libraries, primary children's. I could go
That's
on.
Great.
It's one of the reasons we do the fundraiser as well, so that we can still give within to the community.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So
how much does it cost to go to the festival?
So it's $3 for entry. There also are 2-for-1 tickets. You can go on about KUTV or even Zions, like on their website, and you can get 2-for-1 to come on in. We just start at $3.
Five and under are free.
Because there's lots of fun stuff for kids.
Yeah, we like to bring the whole family. It's definitely a family event.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about the history of the festival. You mentioned that it had started with a bake sale and kind of grew and grew. But now it's really much more than that. It's really about the culture. It's about the dancing. It's about exposing people to the faith and to the Greek community in Utah. What are your hopes for the festival? What do you want to accomplish with it?
I hope we touch people. Like, a lot of people don't know the Greek community personally. And when you come into that festival, it hits you personally. It's huge. It's just something that you'll go in there and you'll absorb. So you'll get the culture, like I said, you get the food, the smells, the sounds, the dancers, visually, the church. When you go in there, he was touching on that, where you get to find out what it means. Like, you go in there, you're going to see the icons, you're going to see the stained glass, the candles, they all have meaning and purpose. So when you go in there and you get a description of it, now it has meaning and it makes it more beautiful.
Yeah.
So,
Jeff, what do you want people to get out of the festival when they go?
Get a grasp of our culture and like how strong we are and how we stay true to our roots about everything, whether it's food or dancing or anything you want, basically. When you walk in, we'll give you the hospitality of walking into someone's Greek home, basically, because you're coming into our home and we want to treat you as our guest.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to give you pounds of food. We want to give you all these drinks. We want to give you like any sort of hospitality we can, because that's what our culture is all about. And we love to just expand and give knowledge of the whole city of Salt Lake, just what the Greek community is all about, basically.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, you guys do a great job. It's really an important part of downtown. It's an important part of the community. And you really play an important part you really play an important role in that Pioneer Park neighborhood. So that neighborhood can be challenging at times. There's some difficult circumstances there, but the church, the Greek Orthodox Church, the Holy Trinity Church, really plays an important role as an anchor for that community in terms of keeping people, keeping the community alive and moving forward. Are there things that people don't know about the Greek community in Utah that you think they should know, whether they learn it at the festival or in other places?
Let's see. Well, everyone knows about the food.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about our crazy dancing, our weird costumes where men wear skirts.
Not just Scottish.
Exactly.
Also, it's also...
But just like our hospitality, like I was saying, they don't know how passionate we are about our own culture and how we're just so passionate about telling everyone about it and just giving back to communities and giving everyone a chance to understand and witness where all our country and where all our families come from, and because it's an exciting piece of history once you know about it.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely one of the most successful, if not the most successful, ethnic festivals that we have in Salt Lake City, that we have downtown. So on kind of a personal note, maybe talk a little bit about your experience and your family's experience in coming to Utah, coming to Salt Lake.
So my family, like I was explaining before, came from Greece on the boats to work in the mines. And my mother's parents came over first, and so they were straight from Greece, and then my dad's grandparents were the first ones from Greece. And it's actually pretty funny. My brother just went there to Greece and met some of our family, and he was given a huge poster-sized paper of our family tree, and it goes all the way down from John, Nick, John, now, and all these, just the same names, basically,
John,
back
Nick,
and
John,
forth.
Nick, yeah.
And then it gets to my great-grandpa, and it stops, because we came to Greece, and so they don't know what we've been doing.
Oh, interesting.
And so then my grandma, my papu, or my grandpa has had five sisters, which sprouted into here, and so just that one simple move just created this huge, large influx of our family.
Oh, that's very cool. Alexis, what about you? Can you talk a little bit about your family history coming from Greece?
It was my mom's parents that came from Greece, and my papu came over for the same reason, to work, and that's what brought him here. And honestly, our family's really small, so that's pretty much that came over from there. And that's just where our family tree came from. I don't know.
That's great. as we're wrapping up, maybe just talk a little bit about the hours and let people know what they should do if they want to go to the festival, how they should plan for it, prepare for it, and it starts today. It starts, I think, at 4:00 today. Festival opens. So talk a little bit about what people can expect if they go today.
So it opens up 4 p.m. like you said. We have a big ribbon cutting at 5 p.m. and they can expect the dancing, the food, and all of that. We're open till 11 p.m. And then we, again, on Friday, we open at 11 and close at 11. Saturday, again, it's 11 to 11. And then on Sunday, we're open from 11 to 8. They can expect all sorts of exciting things.
That's great. Well, Alexis and Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. This is an exciting day for you. It's a big day at the opening of the festival. The annual Greek festival is going on today, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday at the Holy Trinity Church on 300 West and 300 South. Really a great way for families to come down, have a great cultural experience, eat some fantastic Greek food, plenty of stuff for kids to do, have this experience with the dancing, and get to know a little bit more about their Greek friends and neighbors. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for all your contributions to downtown Salt Lake City.
Yeah, no problem. If you can't find it with the white tent, just follow your nose.
Good hint.